We now come to our second week of our three-week series on outsider artists. Outsider artists, as we have seen, are incredibly important in the conversation on culture of the given time and place in which these artists have inhabited. Last week, we took a look at Bill Traylor, who was a man born into slavery, born right in the middle of the 19th century, who split his life evenly between the 19th and the 20th centuries, who had the opportunity to experience the American South in one of its most dynamic and violent and changing times. Bill Traylor, as you have remembered, started his art career when he was in his 60s, 70s, and 80s by just painting or drawing on the back of posters or cardboard or cereal boxes. The artist that we come to today is similar in a few regards, however, is much more contemporary to Bill Traylor. Clementine Hunter is from Louisiana, and she was the granddaughter of a slave. She spent most of her life on Melrose Plantation, which was a plantation that was built several years before by a woman who was a freed slave, who, upon her freedom, had become a very successful and shrewd businesswoman. And her vision was to create a plantation that could be a source of African cultural representation. It's one of the first plantations that was built by blacks for blacks, and it became a center of art and culture in north central Louisiana. At Melrose Plantation, there were buildings that celebrated African architectural styles, African artistic motifs. There was the Ghana House, for example, among a multitude of other buildings that were important to different groups of African diaspora in the United States. And so Clementine Hunter spent a lot of her time at Melrose Plantation, and this was an artistic community that really would have influenced her and encouraged her to create. In the middle to later part of her life, she decided to pick up painting. And she never had artistic training, but was entirely self-taught and decided to paint her memories. She was painting her memories of being a girl in the American South of the early 20th century. If you take a look at her paintings, they're in very primary colors. They're very basic and rudimentary shapes, but they also have a lot of soul and a lot of spirit. And they depict things that would have been really palpable memories for her as a child. For example, church ladies who are filing out of church, or a baptism. A lot of what she painted revolves around things that are spiritual and things that are related to the church, as that was a really critical part of her life as a girl. Clementine Hunter was an extremely prolific artist, and there are thousands upon thousands of her paintings that continue to show up in different museums and different collections and different antiques markets to this day. I think they estimate that there's something like 5,000 or 6,000 of them that are in circulation. But if you watched the video from Antiques Roadshow in the Warship packet, you'll notice that there is a really dark complication to Clementine Hunter's artistic legacy, and that's the fact that an unscrupulous dealer who is very well known in the South asked her to pose with forgeries of paintings and paid her to do this. And this was at the end of Clementine Hunter's life, at which time she wouldn't really have been aware of why this was happening or knowing that this man was passing off fake paintings as her own for financial profit for himself. So there is this ongoing problem with authentication of Clementine Hunter's work, because there are pictures of her posing with paintings that actually are not authentic and that were staged because of this dealer who recognized the importance of her work and knew that it would be an important part of the conversation on race relations and on a healing and developing South of the 19th century, and saw this as the opportunity to profit off of the work and the labor of a woman of color. Aside from that, Clementine Hunter's work has been shown in museums across the United States, including the Smithsonian Institution, along with Bill Traylor and the artist that we will discover next week, who is his sister Gertrude Morgan. The three of them are very important African-American artists who really have given a lyrical voice to the colors and the traditions of the Southern United States, and who have not sugarcoated any of it, but who have told the truth of what their experience was and what they encountered and what they saw in this very complicated time and in this complicated region of the U.S. I chose a scripture passage from Revelation in which we see these angels who are stationed and who are sort of on guard and on watch. And it's a very bizarre passage, of course, because it comes from the seventh chapter of Revelation. So this is John of Patmos's vision. He's on the island of Patmos. Christians are being persecuted. He's probably dying of thirst. And yet he is having these incredible visions of this world of justice that he believes is just right around the corner. He's having these visions of what it would look like to live in a world in which Christ is at the center of everything people do and say, and that evil is banished from the world and that justice reigns supreme. Which, if you're going to have visions while stranded out somewhere, those are the sorts of visions that you would want to have, about a world that's in the process of being made right. In the case of John, they were a little bizarre, but that makes them all the more entertaining and interesting for us today. But the reason I chose this is because if you watch the Antiques Roadshow video, they mention that Clementine Hunter always gave her angels very interesting hairstyles. And she would always say that these angels had these very triangular hairstyles, almost as if they have triangles resting on their heads. Because if they were flying angels, then of course the wind would blow their hair back. And I think that that shows Clementine Hunter was an incredibly clever and humorous person, as well as very creative, to depict and to create her own visual imagery and her own visual vocabulary that has a purpose and that has a story, albeit how whimsical it might be. So as you read through John of Patmos's Revelation, I think that Clementine Hunter's work illustrates it perfectly. He might as well have thought that the angel's hair was being blown back by the wind, as if they too were riding on fast motorcycles through heaven. I think that Clementine Hunter's paintings are calming. They evoke something of curiosity in the viewer, but they also portray the truth. And that even though her colors are bright, some of those truths are complicated. Some of those truths require deeper thought. And some of them indicate that being a girl and growing up in this complicated environment at this interesting time in our history would have been something that would have created deep memories that she then used painting to share with us the important lessons of the past. It's up to us to take the lessons that our outsider artists have taught us and have left us with, and to make sure that, like John's revelation, we too have a vision of a more just world, a more equal and equitable society, one in which all people have a voice to come around the table and to be beloved children of God. I look forward to sharing with you Sister Gertrude Morgan next week. May it be so. Amen.